to help the poor without hurting yourself. Hurting the poor and yourself. So today, I just, you know, when you do something like this and you step out, I have been working all week on this, and I thought, you know what I'm just going to do is I'm going to a lot of large portions of this. I'm going to get off my smartphone. And I went to go look for it this morning, and I can't find it. So just been praying over this lesson because I know we're on the right track. Do you know when you're on the right track when you're under attack? Mm-hmm. If you're off and he's not attacking you, right, Karen?
That's right.
You must not be on the right path. If you are under attack, you must be on the right path. So that's just a confirmation. Well, what we're going to do, these lessons are meant to be much longer, but we have such limited time. So within the time that we have allotted, what we're going to do is just stick pretty much to the format, which is we're going to just start out with some questions to be thinking about. We run the video. And then we're going to wrap up, okay? Amen? Amen. So again, what are we for? What's the goal? What is the goal? What are we doing? What are we doing and why are we doing it?
Transformation.
Go, Deborah. She got it right. Ding, ding, ding.
And she didn't even have to cook any single.
And she couldn't even cheat by looking. Transformation is becoming, well, I'm glad you asked. In fact, more specifically, the goal of this series is to equip the North American Church, i.e. Barnabas Baptist Temple, with a ministry framework that restores the poor to fulfilling their God-given callings and potential. Now they say the poor, but who is that? That's all of us. We're all broken. So before we watch today's video, we're gonna meet Alicia, and this is the part where I had a big long thing I was gonna read, and I can't find it. So basically, what I want us to be thinking about is the people that we're ministering to, and in this particular book, they're talking about a young woman named Alicia. She is African American. She has, I believe, 5 or 6 children from 2 or 3 different fathers. She's living in poverty. And they're following her. And, you know, we're going through some of the situations some of us have gone through and how best to minister to this particular young woman. So one of the questions they're asking is, if Alyssa showed up at Barnabas Baptist Temple next Sunday asking for help, what would you do? These are not necessarily questions that we have answers for.
But we've done it.
We've done it.
It has happened here. It has been done.
It has been done.
She's sitting out in the other room.
So how would we help her?
Find out what she needs first.
Find out what she needs. That's an excellent answer. Find out what she needs.
Sometimes they don't know what they need either.
Well, and sometimes, and we're geared towards helping people with material things. And my daughter would say we're living in a material world. But yet, the whole point of this study is our brokenness, is a shared brokenness regardless of our material circumstances. Amen. In fact, they later on in this say the materially poor and the material non-poor. They don't say rich or poor because we're all poor. It's just a level of degree. What are we talking about? So, how would you define success in your efforts to help Alyssa? What would her new story look like? That's really more of a thought to be thinking about because we're going to wrap up with that. But I wanted to go ahead and go to showing today's video. And
now pause this recording and watch the video.
First choice is materially poor or materially non-poor. Is that That really sums it up, right? That takes the whole wealth thing out of it, all being broken. So think about this. So though you may be materially poor or materially non-poor, is there evidence in your life that there's brokenness? Brokenness in the different kinds of relationships. And we're all broken. But what evidence do you see? What evidence do you see? And this is something that I wish we had all a lot more time to think about, because it's something that I'm hitting you with something completely new and asking you all of a sudden to be thinking about it, when it might take a little bit longer because it is such a new way of thinking. But what brokenness? What areas in, we need to look at ourselves, it starts with us. What areas in our lives do we need to deal with in those four different areas? What do we need to repent about, and what do we need to pray about? And again, the four areas. Four relationships. With God, right? With self. With others. With creation. And you can go wrong focusing on in any one of those. Right? For a lot of people that focus in on our relationship with creation, they think we all need to go off the grid, right? We need to do away with fossil fuels. Really? Do we? See what I'm saying? See about the balance. But just, you know, again, you really have to think about this if you've ever really thought about it this way. The brokenness. And some of the brokenness in our lives manifests itself in different areas. And before I jump in and say, I'm broken here, because it's not about me. It's all about us and all of our brokenness.
Amen.
But if anyone would like...
A lot of our church members, they don't see us as brokenness, which they don't understand why we're coming to this church and whatever. I'm sorry to interrupt, but...
No, please go ahead.
There was something with Kelly and Shelley and Court's thing today where Tim had to take Kelly down the stairs in the wheelchair, which should have not have ever happened because of Tim and his hernia. There's a chance that he may end up having to go to the hospital because of all this. They've got to understand, just because he's walking and we're all walking, we do have brokenness. And that's why we're here.
No, that's not entirely why we're here.
Well, that's true.
It seems to be a common thread when it's not one time within the physical part one way or another. We're here for the very simple reason that we don't want to go to one of these megalithic monster, don't know who you are churches. More than any.
I just want everybody to understand we're all broken. So they've got to start stepping up to their own individual things. Like Kelly can get out of that chair and walk. She needs to do that.
And that.
A short difference. We're not talking about going to put it on people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's why you're doing rehab, to get stronger, to be able to do that.
And then it's out of the kids that go towards the window. And they go into the window.
But just again, this being so new and us having such a limited amount of time. Really,
I had no idea. I had to go upstairs for her.
I brought three steps. But they wanted me to go down backwards, which I did, and I'm enough anyway. I probably should have forced her to stand up and move the chair, put it down on the two steps.
But they did ask me.
So I didn't get it. I went down backwards. I went down and I was like, hey, people, please don't run me over with this chair. But it didn't, so it was fun for me.
For a minute. Well, again, all of us, we do tend to, out of our compassion, it's nobly driven to want to help. But this is the whole point of this study, is are we helping or are we hurting ourselves?
Amen.
Yeah,
this is a perfect example. You know, you out of your heart want to help someone. And would do it again. And yet, if someone has the ability, to the greatest of their ability, to step in and do something that would otherwise be harmful to someone else, then that person needs to step forward and be able to do that, to the best of their ability. And the ward's sending you to rehab so you can do exactly that. But we're used to just people doing stuff for us. And I understand that. And I understand that.
Let me ask that question. That question that's asked there, what evidence is it in our life that shows us that we're broken? Is it that we don't have any joy? Do we not have any peace? Are we never satisfied? What is the evidence that tells us that we're broken?
Well, we know that we are, but it's really, yes.
I don't want to be argumentative, but
go ahead.
When I was growing up, I was just told how different it was. I wasn't accepted, and I'm tired of being told I'm broken. Because in the Psalms, God said you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and I'm not going to accept that brokenness.
Oh,
me neither.
Okay, that's an interesting way to look at that.
No, I'm not a handicap.
No.
The devil can only mess with your mind, and then the devil will try to get jump on your back. But I give all things to God through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I don't even want to say that I'm broke down, because what the Bible says, what comes out of your mouth can be turned back against you. That's like saying, you know, that we're crippled and this and that, and we are all over the world. But once we've got in their minds that God the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit is what they need to be announced to, like the Word says, give everything and to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. But in that one song,
what does it say? What's the thought about the song? Even if you can't quote it.
Yeah. It's your people. I was in a church one time, and I circled around to the church I wanted to go to and checked them out. Well, I was set at the back of this church.
Put in the back, huh?
Yeah, because I'm
that might have been the only place for you.
This is not a pastor that got up and preached. It was an evangelist. And they were talking back and forth about, you know, Ethiopia and all that other in the world. And then he was up there and he said, when I mention Ethiopia and Sudan and Haiti, I mention that. And he said, oh no, I'm not going to go there and die. I was blown away with that. I'm not going to go over there and die. But it's pretty obvious they need more, you know, but yeah, still him saying that to his people.
If I may reset the conversation a little bit about the idea of brokenness. I don't think anybody in here will stand up and say, I'm perfect. I'm absolutely perfect. There's nothing wrong with me, inside or out. Only Jesus could say that.
Amen.
So when we make a statement like everybody is broken, we're not saying that you are irredeemable, that there's something so fatally wrong with you that not even Jesus can help. We're saying that Jesus is there because, yes, we are all broken. There is not a... It's not a derogatory thing. It's not a you poor, helpless soul thing. It's a, look, this is something that we need to recognize about our human condition. We have all got issues. We've all got parts of our lives that are broken. And for different people, it's different things. So don't hear a condemnation in the idea that we're all broken. Hear the reality and the truth of the fact that we've all got issues, that things that we need to bring to the Lord and things that we need to get right. And we will, as long as we're here on this earth.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Becker.
Well, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. Okay. Don't worry about it.
No, everybody has their own mindset. I think this is a good conversation that for us to be having.
Yeah, it really didn't come out like I wanted it to. You know what I mean?
Everybody has their own concept.
It's like what I do is Jesus take its will. I can't, you know, take the will. Yes. Jesus take the will.
Okay, as an example, and forgive me, Linda, but
no,
my two cents work. I'm not perfect, never have been. My mother's committing to attest to that, but I've been in several broken relationships. I have had jobs that I've lost and had to go find new jobs. I've been in a position where there was no money coming in and my parents had to help me with food. There's always something that may be going on in your life that makes you feel like you are broken. But there's always a way out. There's always a way to improve it. What I think this is
I know that, but I also know Jesus died on the cross.
Yeah.
And we, the stronger we get is from him.
Yeah.
And I'm so messed up, you know, this world was so bad that I don't know where I'm going, but I didn't mean to go.
No, I think this is a great conversation. Because if I sit up here and I get the best Bible study in the world, but nobody's changed, I've wasted my time. It's about transformation, right? That's the goal. So let's just look at the definition for poverty alleviation. Poverty alleviation. It's a process in which people, both the materially poor and materially non-poor, okay, both move closer to living in right relationship with God, self, others, and creation, and we do it together, right? That's the process, that's the goal. Well, that's the brokenness. And again, that's just the term. And it not meant to be, oh, you think you're so great, you're nothing. No, it's not said in that spirit.
We're not talking about you.
We're talking about all of us. But it's
like
interesting
you said, we all
to
hear
what we're hearing. It's also interesting to see how we're hearing.
You know what I think? I mean, I know I'm not perfect. I know that I have issues, but, you know, and I know there's things that I need to do to improve my situation. I mean, I know that, you know, reality is if I didn't live with my mom, I wouldn't be able to, I take a lot of medicine, I wouldn't be able to afford it, you know, because I, you know.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
Yes, please.
You can take broken so many ways. You know, all you have to do is a lot of respect towards yourself and others. But sometimes you can't issue out something without knowing, thinking, this might harm than do good and well for somebody else.
Right.
And then you cause harm first, it made people avoid you. But some people say, well, hey, you've done this one time, you might try to do something else, do cause same thing again another time.
It's being able to do a better job in the future. And that's the whole point. Think back. This is a perfect segue to what we're going to talk about next. So I know the Lord's at work because you are following the Bible study. Think back at a time. Think about a time when you tried to help someone who was materially poor you were ministering them, you were trying to help them. Did your approach reconcile the four broken relationships? And if it did, in what ways? Or, you almost have to do both of these together. Now, anything you did that actually contributed to greater poverty with someone? Let's go back. I don't think I have it in the PowerPoint. Think of a time when you've tried to help, and we in this church have helped more people or attempted to help more people than any other church I've ever been in. So we should have plenty of things to talk about and wish we had more time. But have you ever had to try to help someone and you really ended up in the end thinking, I think I did worse. I think I did more damage.
Well, I think somebody, it hasn't happened all the time, but sometimes it happens that the person that you kind of help take advantage of you, and it backfires, and you wish you had never even
tried to help. And given that, do you have an example? You can name names?
No.
Or?
I don't want to name names.
Of course, we don't want to name names, but just sort of a situation when you did this, trying to do this, and this happened. Let me start out. We look over the 7 years we've been coming here and realize what complete catastrophes we've attempted in the really well-meaning trying to help people. And the one, which you probably recall, was remember when we did angel food? Angel food, remember that? Mm-hmm. There was an organization called Angel Food that supplied food to people at a reduced cost. But we were supposed to have the people pitch in something. It was like frozen food or something. And it just, the whole thing, and we actually did it through, there was a church up by us, because we live in Richardson, and they were administering this program. And we went to go pick up these boxes that we had ordered to bring them back down here. And they had like a court, you know, like a basketball court. You know you're at a wealthy church when they have a basketball court. Indoor basketball court, right? We don't have one here, right, do we? We could probably put out the pews and maybe, you know, put up a couple hoops, right? No. But it was full of people. And we thought, who are all these people? Who are all these people? And they were all there to do nothing more than to help us carry the boxes to our cars. And I'm thinking, you need to get in your cars and come down to our church. That's where we need you. We need your physical body to be present at our church. Instead of, does this whole way of thinking, and I understand, Edith, that it can be a little prickly hearing it, because it maybe sounded like there's condemnation, and there's not. I don't mean it to be said this way. The reason we're doing this is in the hopes of doing a better job in the future. Does that all make sense? Just this whole way of thinking. Do we not see the potential for really being able to do a better job in the future? I just think that this is something that we need to pursue. We've got a couple more weeks to do it. I just wish we had more time. I just wish we had more time to really talk about this. Because there are such better ways of doing things. Well, and we do need to move on because there's other things happening today. But I want to go back to Alyssa. And the kids, they have a section going deeper, and I just tried to find it a moment ago. I couldn't find it, and I don't want to be wasting time. But they go back to Alyssa, this woman, who was in a situation where, as we're talking about, feeling that she's trapped and can't really get out, and they talk about her and find out that she goes to work in a church, not in a church, in a school, and she finds out she has a gift for teaching, and she's able to work with the principal there, and she's able to use her gifts for teaching, to be able to really begin the process of getting out of the situation that she's in. And finding out that, you know, if she gets up early and does the laundry, you know, in the morning, then she can go to work, she can deal with children. She has a gift. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the future, looking more at not what we're lacking, but what we have. What we have, and how best to invest that for the greater glory of the future. Amen.
Amen.
I just think that this is a really good thing. Well, welcome back. How was Sunday school today? Love having kids, don't we? We love having kids. We went here years and years and years with no kids. We love having kids. Let's just wrap it up. Heavenly Father, I'm going to wrap up with prayer today, and I'm just going to thank you for the opportunity for us to be looking deeper into these very, very important issues. And Lord, with what you have gifted us, with what you have given us, we pray that we're able to take those resources and in our less than perfection list. Maybe the word brokenness is not the word, but just in our situation, whatever situation that is, that we're not perfect. However, we're not perfect, Lord, that we can all work together to become that which you have created us to be in the image of God, Lord. And we praise you and thank you for this awesome opportunity just to take time to look deeper into these issues, because they have the power to be truly transformational. So Lord, continue to work with us, continue to walk with us, and change our hearts so we can help change others' lives. We praise you, Lord, and thank you for that opportunity in the holy name of Christ Jesus. Amen.